So 2025, it's the first Sunday. I love this time of year. One of the my favorite times of year is Christmas time. I just love Christmas. Me and my wife, especially once it hits Thanksgiving, we so look forward to Christmas. And New Year's is okay. I never liked New Year's because it always meant school was coming soon. So New Year's and me kind of have a love-hate relationship, but we love that little bit of time in between Christmas and New Year's. It's always great times of fond memories with family and friends, and we look forward to that. And many, many people look forward to that time of year where they get to spend some great memories and to have some great time with family. But just as many that enjoy that time of year, there's a group that when it comes this time of year, it is a challenge for them. It is a struggle. Whether this group has had something challenging happen in years past, and so this time of year is just a constant reminder to them of this challenging thing that they've gone through, or perhaps they're coming into the Christmas season and they're seeing just the evidence of a loved one who is no longer with them. And they're having to deal with the emotions and grief come up all over again. Regardless, there are a lot of people that when it comes to this time of year struggle and find challenge. But Christmas for our family was definitely not the same as normal this time of year. On Christmas morning at about 9:30 a.m., this is right after we were finishing opening presents. If you think that's early, we have an 8-year-old. Anybody with kids, you understand. But we were just finishing opening presents, and I looked down at my phone, and a person in our former church that we're close with texted us, informing us that one of my former students, who was pretty much like part of the family from my former church, passed away tragically on Christmas morning, in the middle of the night at 3 in the morning. And so, as you can imagine, it was a bit of a whirlwind and a shock. I sat there staring at this text message, just kind of like, am I reading this right? Is that the name? Is it him? And I was trying to get the courage to get up and to go into the kitchen where Laura was to break the news to her. And after about 5 minutes, I finally had the courage and stood up and walked over. And she had received a text message at the same time I did. I was unbeknownst to me. And so she was in utter shock standing in the kitchen, and we spent kind of the rest of the day, as you can imagine, in this kind of haze of trying to figure out, and it wasn't just haze and shock, it was also heartbreak for his parents, heartbreak for his older brother and older sister. It's hard to even imagine how they were feeling, having to wake up in a time that normally meant happiness and fond memories for their family, but yet right now they're waking up with the harsh reality that this amazing young man, their son, their brother, is gone. And the shock of that. Our hearts just couldn't, we just went out to them, and I didn't want to disrupt any type of maybe processing time that they were having on Christmas Day with family, so I waited till the next morning to give his dad, Brian, a call, and I woke up that morning and called his dad and was able to get some details from his father and just take some time to pray with his dad and just minister to him. And his dad, considering what had just happened, was handling it pretty well. But as you can imagine, this is a heavy situation. This is something that none of us would ever in a million years prepare for or know how to handle. No one can prepare us for that news. And he asked me while I was on the phone with him, hey, it makes sense that if anybody do the funeral, would you be willing to do the funeral? And of course, I said, absolutely. Just let me know whenever it is. And I'll do that. And I was also invited. They had a family viewing on Friday night, the Friday right after Christmas. And so I went to Lewistown for that and was with the family for about 3 or 4 hours that night, and then came back on Monday to Lewistown to do the memorial service. And so we were able to honor this young man. His name was Avery. We were able to honor him very, very well. And it was a great time of getting to see people and hear stories and have memories that many of them I forgot. But when I got off the phone that morning with his father, For one, it just all hit me at once, and so I was hit with emotions. But I couldn't help but ask a familiar question. Perhaps you know this question. Why God? Why? Why him? Why does his family have to deal with this, especially Christmas morning? You know, and as we face times of difficulties in our life, this is a question that always seems to find its way into our minds, right? I mean, like I said, I'm a pastor, and that was one of the first questions that hit my brain after really getting to finally process what was happening was, why? You know, it's not a question of faith, but really a question of understanding, right? I mean, we are not God. And we don't know why things happen, and because we are not God, we find it difficult to understand, right? So we naturally seek understanding. And honestly, it's a question that it's not going to be answered on this side of eternity. We will seek understanding. What I think is interesting about that is every time I've answered that question, I've never really gotten necessarily understanding. But what God has done is he's given me comfort and presence for me to be able to continue on, right? Whenever we face times like this, he gives comfort and presence, and that helps me to, even though I haven't gotten really an answer, and I know I'm not going to until heaven, right? It gives that comfort and presence amazingly gets us through. And that's how God ministers to us in times of need and challenges. This is one of those moments where we are just faced with the reality that this world is not perfect. This world is withering away, and so are we, right? It's those harsh reality moments when we come to those terms where this world, man, this is where you realize that we long for the day when Jesus comes back. We long for the day when Jesus comes and conquers sin. Right, he's already conquered death, but conquers sin completely and fully, and redeems us fully and our world fully. Like, we long for that day, and this is a moment where we really realize the reality of that when we lose somebody that we care about so dearly. And much of this question of why God, it comes from a teaching or even a belief that some Christians have, and it's that teaching / belief that when we accept Christ, we will not face challenges, trials, and losses. Somehow, somewhere along the line, this has entered the minds of many believers where they have this thought that, hey, I'm a Christian now, I have Jesus in my life, everything should be good, right? I shouldn't have to face challenges or grief or heartache. But it's our job. I feel like our church does a good job of preaching the truth in that. We don't preach the prosperity gospel that, man, as long as you're with Jesus, you know, everything's going to be good. And if it's not, you're doing something wrong, which is kind of what that message is, right? That if you're having something happening, it's something wrong with you, not anything else, not something wrong with just the world we live in or the fact that we are living in a broken world, right? But Jesus, he never taught that life would be easy for his followers. He even told them, pick up your cross and follow me. He told that to those closest to him. He made it clear that it was going to be hard, that there would be difficult times. And I think that anybody in this room that has been a Christian for any longer period of time knows this truth, knows that there's going to be challenging times, would agree with that truth. We've all faced challenging times in our lives, whether it's the loss of a loved one, or perhaps dealing with tough financial crisis, or perhaps it's having some sort of a health condition that we have to live with, right? Or having some other challenges that we face. Maybe even dealing with an even horrible situation that's going on, and we're left with the only thing that we can do is call upon the God of all comfort. We've all faced those times. And the Apostle Paul, he knows this very well as he addresses a church that is facing persecution, that has been tempted to give up. And Paul, who is going through his own afflictions, he writes to this church to bring comfort and correction. Turn with me to, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning in verses 3 to 7. As Paul, he is writing to this church. They are going through persecution, going through afflictions, and he is wanting to bring some correction to some belief systems that they have that are wrong, but also more importantly, he's wanting to bring them comfort, and he's wanting to help them in this time of trouble. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3-7 says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." Paul starts off, he starts off this passage by describing God as being the God of mercies and all comfort. In a sense, he's saying that true comfort comes from God and God alone. It is God who brings comfort when difficulty arises. It is God who gets us through. And that kind of seems like the biggest no-duh statement ever in Scripture, but yet we get this wrong so much in the way that we find ourselves living our lives. So many of us turn to everything but God to find comfort. So many of us have a misguided view of what comfort truly is, that our version of comfort is an instantaneous relief, that whatever makes us feel better quickest wins, and that's what we run to and that's what we go to. So we end up seeking comfort from the bottle, whether it's the pill bottle or the bottle of alcohol. For some, we feel comforted through eating. For others, comfort may come through relationships that we're in, or maybe even through shopping. Perhaps comfort might come through what we're watching on the screen. There are countless of ways in which we try to find comfort apart from God, but all these are temporary. The problem has not left, and when the effects of this worldly comfort fade away, which they inevitably do, we are left with the same challenges, the same problems, and the same afflictions staring us right in the eyes. Except for this time, now we have a heaping load of shame on us to bring us down even further. And so what do? We return back to this thing that we try desperately. Maybe this time, this will bring us comfort, right? Again, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, but yet we're humanity, right? And so this is why addictions are so prevalent in our culture. Because we are desperately trying to be comforted, to trying to feel better, not feel pain that we're feeling, and not having to live with the challenges we're living with. And so we go to a solution, and we run to something like alcohol, pills, or pornography, or whatever it might be, hoping that that's going to somehow make our problems better. But it's not. For the comfort only can come from God. Comfort only comes from Him. We need to stop seeking comfort from things outside of Him, things that are temporary, and we need to start seeking comfort that lasts. And I want to be clear here, if you're in a situation where you're dealing with an addiction, I don't want to oversimplify it and just say, well, just turn to God, okay? Because God is someone we need to turn to 100%. He does bring His comfort. He will help you and your addiction. But God a lot of times isn't just going to pick you up out of something like that, because that's your solution. You still have a problem over here you need to deal with. He's going to want to help walk you through that pain, and so that you can face that pain and no longer need to return to where you're turning for comfort. But I want to be clear, I don't want to oversimplify it and make it seem like you just need to turn to God, simple as that. You need other people, you need community. We need each other. That's why we gather as a church on a regular basis. But God is the one that can give us strength to get through times. He may not always remove us from our afflictions, right? He may not always just pick us up. There are times that God does, right? We hear testimonies of that. And those tend to be more the testimonies that we hear, right? From people that they're like, God, remove this from me. And it's great, right? But we miss out on the testimonies where somebody says, no, God didn't remove it from me. I had to go through it, and God had to guide me through it, right? I mean, the Apostle Paul said that himself later in this very book, where he says, I prayed and prayed for God to take this from me. Talking about an affliction he was having, and many believe it was his vision problems that he was having, right? He said, I prayed over and over again, and God didn't, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, that I'm going to be the one that gets you through. When you're in this weakness, every day when you're reminded of this weakness, you're going to lean on me, and I'm going to be your strength, right? A beautiful picture that Jesus says to him. But challenging pill to swallow when you're Paul, right? But we are given the promise, 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except for what is common to mankind. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. We truly have assurance that God is faithful, and he will give us the strength to get through all trials and temptation. And that means that he'll even provide for us community, provide for us support and people in our lives to help us get through it. We were never meant to get through things alone. He can deliver us out of our afflictions and encourage us in our afflictions so that we can get through. And in the situation of this family that I shared who lost their son Avery on Christmas Day, God is not going to deliver them completely out of this affliction. Their son has gone home to be with the Lord. That's final, right? God's not going to be able to really truly pick them up out of that pain. That pain will be there as long as they're here on this earth. But God, instead, is going to give them exactly the comfort that they need to get through today. And guess what? They wake up tomorrow. God is going to give them exactly the comfort and grace and strength to get through tomorrow. And he will do that every single day. That is the God of comfort whom we serve. And that is one of the things. He will minister to them the ministry of comfort and compassion and use others to do so, that ministry, and the people that are familiar with their family as they go through this challenging process. See, Paul, he moves on to verse 4 to show an interesting concept behind God's comfort and even behind our suffering. He describes God as the one who comforts us in all troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. That's a tongue twister, right? God, help me to comfort others with the very comfort that you gave me when I went through the same thing, right? It's kind of the concept. It's this almost like that recycle symbol. It's like this like kind of idea of it's going around and around, right? We are comforted so that we may comfort. And when you hear that, it almost like if you're somebody that's going through grief right now, that almost makes you mad. What do you mean we are comforted so that we may comfort you? Like, what do you mean? Like, am I going through this and being comforted not just because he wants to comfort me, but so that I comfort others? It's a, well, yes and no. He wants to comfort you because he desperately loves you, but he wants to comfort you so that God's going to use, as a part of the healing process, God is going to use your pain and your suffering and the comfort that he gave you to minister to others, and through that, you are going to receive the blessing of being healed and reaching another stage of healing in your walk with him. Paul, he's getting personal as he's talking here because he is personally experiencing troubles and afflictions as he writes this letter. I already shared about the physical afflictions that he's dealing with, potentially with his vision or another thing that he hadn't mentioned. But he's also dealing with and experiencing other troubles, right? Paul has faced plots against his life, riots, mob violence, false accusations, imprisonments, and even a stoning. I mean, how many of us have had to witness that, right? Having a bunch of people wanting to throw rocks at you to kill you. So far, God has delivered Paul from every peril, except for the physical one that he will talk about later in this very same book. But when God delivers Paul from one distress, the apostle finds himself falling into another. But it's his response to these afflictions and troubles that back this verse up. You see, Paul's experience has taught him that God comforts him so that he may be a comfort to others. In other words, God has prepared Paul for a time such as this as he writes this letter to these people. These people who he's done ministry with and ministry to. Now he gets to comfort them on a whole other level, specifically because of the situations that he has gone through, because the suffering that he has faced. God's comfort is not intended to stop with us. God always gives us a surplus, and God intends for it to overflow through us to others. God's comfort is given to us not just to make us feel better, but to bolster us for the task of strengthening others who are facing suffering. It has been said that God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. I'm going to say that again. God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. So when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense, right? How many times has God used a horrible situation in your life to minister to somebody else in their time of need? How many times have people been able to use their past and present suffering to bring comfort to those who need it? You know, one powerful moment that occurred in the days in between Christmas and New Year's as we were preparing for a funeral, and this is the couple days in between when he passed away and the funeral. Somebody in my former church, a lady who had lost her son tragically to a motorcycle accident about 8 or 9 years ago, I actually was a part of that funeral service as well, and I remember when that happened. It was a tragedy. The parents were absolutely grieving. This was devastating. Out of nowhere this happened, right? And she showed up at this family's house, and when they went and answered the door and saw that it was her, knowing how triggering her showing up would be for her, because they knew her grief now. And when they saw her, they both absolutely broke down. And she was able to bring in the presence, a presence with her that no other person could ever walk in with. A presence of healing directly from God. She was able to minister in a beautiful, beautiful way. She was able to come in and comfort this family with the same exact comfort that God had brought to her in her darkest moment, and it was a beautiful thing to hear about. I wish I could have been there, but Mom and Dad later that week told me at the funeral when we were getting ready to get started, they're like, hey, Mary Lou was her name. She's an amazing woman. They're like, she showed up, and he goes, right when I saw her, I just broke. And he said she was able to come in and just bring us so much comfort because we knew exactly what she had been feeling. She was able to do a ministry that I could never do, right? I could never come in and give that same type of comfort because I had not been through that same feeling of loss. I had not had to deal with the feelings that they're having to deal with at that level, and I have not been comforted from God at that same time with those same feelings. You see what I mean? I've not dealt with the same situation, but she has. She's felt those exact feelings. She's experienced that extreme loss and horrible moments, and God brought her comfort every day to get by, and she was able to bring the presence of God into that house and the comfort that comes with it in a beautiful, beautiful way. Now, as she and as these parents see each other, they have a bond that's never going to be broken, and there's a level of comfort every time. Just they don't even have to say anything. Just eye contact, and they know. They know. God is with us, and he is comforting us. And now God is using, because of her courage, because of this woman's courage, she is now allowing God to minister through her suffering. And now God is using that difficult time in her life as a testimony to bring others comfort that God is faithful and that he has not abandoned them, but that he is with them. And is it also fitting that we're coming out of a season where we're celebrating Emmanuel? God is with us. In verse 5, Paul, he tells the church of Corinth that for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. You see, Paul, he kind of gives like this visual chart here. Have you ever had a moment when you try to do one of those pros and cons chart? You take a piece of paper, you draw a line down the middle, you write pros and cons, and whatever it is you're trying to figure out what to do, you start weighing out the pros and the cons, right? You ever done that? Anybody done that? Okay. Well, what Paul's essentially doing here when he says this verse, it's as if he's taking that same chart and replacing pro with talking about, like, or pros with this is the comfort that comes from God. And over here is here's the afflictions. So afflictions versus the comfort that comes from God. That's the chart, the graph, whatever you want to call it, that Paul is putting here before us in this verse. And imagine him making a list of the various trials and afflictions that he has faced, okay, right here. And because of following Christ, then he makes a list of all the comforts that he has received from Christ, right, in his lifetime. And Paul says in this verse that the comfort that he has received by far outbalances the suffering. And for somebody like Paul, that's a pretty big statement, because Paul's had experience of suffering, right? It would be different if he was somebody that just, man, and we know what we're talking about here, like somebody that's like, you've had an easy life. What are you talking about? What's suffering, you know? Paul has suffered greatly. Like I said before, somebody's tried to stone him to death, right? He's been imprisoned. He has faced all sorts of persecution and affliction. This verse, it does not teach if you suffer, but rather when you suffer, the comfort revealed will be more than enough to get you through. And many believers still believe that they shouldn't suffer. Many still think, oh, I shouldn't have to suffer. I follow Jesus. But look at Jesus' life. Look at Christ's life. He suffered greatly to make the biggest impact on our lives, to die and to make a way for us to come to the Father. And if Christ suffered, we are his followers, then we should suffer, right? If he had to suffer, who are we to have the audacity to think that we will never suffer in our lives? And we know that when we do, his comfort will be more than enough. Paul continues with this idea in verses 6 and 7. He says, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Paul shows the Corinthian church that if it wasn't for his sufferings and trials, they would not have received the gospel message. He is facing trials because he shared the gospel, because he was willing to share the gospel. And if he would have chickened out, then they would have never heard the message, and the result would have been that they would not now know Jesus. You know, there were people in his church, and this is some of the context that we need to understand behind this passage. There were people in the church then that they believed that because Paul was dealing with so much affliction in his life, that it's because there's something wrong with him. He couldn't be a man of God. Because how could a man of God have so many hardships face him? A man of God is blessed. And if you dare have any hardships face you, then you're doing something wrong, and God is mad at you. There is a misguided view. And you know what? To be honest with y'all, sometimes that belief kind of seeps in. Whether it seeps in the view of how we view ourselves in those moments that we face trials, and we start to go, man, yeah, I have no value. This is proven at God. He's just... This is what I deserve, right? And it can pile on shame even when we deal with loss, right? Or it can be the way we view God, where we're like, God's just angry with me. And God is looking at me like this, right? Because my father looked at me like this, so this is how I view God, right? And so this is how God views me, and right now he's punishing me because he doesn't love me. Rather than a more correct view of God, which is we live in a broken world and we're dealing with various trials and challenges because Jesus said we would. And right now, we don't have a God that's doing this, but we have rather a God that's doing this through his son, Jesus Christ, wanting to bring you comfort, the God of all mercies and comfort, wanting to reach his hand out to you and show you comfort if we would just lift our head up and look at him. This comfort that we will receive, we are going to face trials, but the comfort that we will receive is in abundance. God brought incredible comfort to Avery's family. Incredible comfort. As they were grieving the loss of this incredible young man, he comforted them through other people, like Mary Lou that I talked about earlier. Surrounding them with love and bringing them meals. It was so funny when I went to visit them to just sit down with the family after the viewing and just talk about the service and make plans with that. It's late at night and I haven't eaten in a while. I'm like, okay, I'll just get fast food on the way home. But when I walk in, they're like, do you want food? I'm like, no, I'm not going to. No, I'm good. I'll stop. They're like, please, we have food. And I walk in and everywhere you look is just like cold cut trays, you know, all sorts of different, you know, chip bags and food, like stacked up. They would be good to eat for the next month and a half. I'm pretty sure of it. And it was almost like, it was such a beautiful picture of love from a community showing that, hey, we see you because God sees you, right? And it's a beautiful ministry getting to do something like that, because even we don't think of a simple act like that of providing a meal for a family in a time like that as truly love. We're just like, well, I'm just doing my part, whatever that is. But man, they wake up every day and walk through and see this food and are reminded that they have people that care about them. And they have people that care about them because they have a God that cares about them, right? And it was just a beautiful thing. But God, he didn't just minister to them through their pain, through people, but he also directly comforted them through this, through the actions and his actions through the whole process, right? In revealing how he was there to in the last few days of Avery's life. Avery lived pretty far away. Something like 8 to 10 hours, something like that. He lived pretty far away, and it was a rare occurrence for him to actually come home. So it had been, I don't know, maybe 6 to 8 months or so since he had last been home to Lewistown, and he happened to be getting ready to go on this trip with some friends, and his friends, they lived in Pittsburgh, and so he was heading from his home up to Pittsburgh to meet with these friends to go on this snowboarding trip. And when he was just outside of Pittsburgh, which, as you know, is not that far away from Lewistown, it's just a couple hours, right, or a few hours, whatever, not that bad, he starts exhibiting symptoms that if anybody exhibits symptoms like this, you would know right away that this is not good. I need to call my parents. So he calls his mom and dad and tells them, and his mom's a nurse, tells them, hey, this is what I'm experiencing. And right away, they were like, you need to come home to us. We need to take you to the hospital. So he came home and went into the hospital to find out that he ends up having a tumor that was growing off of his lung, and that tumor was wrapping around his heart. And in a sense, they find out in the longer later on that he was essentially a ticking time bomb, that at any moment he could have just passed. And God was able, and this is the parents telling me this, they're sharing all this stuff with me, saying that, man, God brought our son home to us. He was not supposed to be here, and God brought our son home to us to be able to spend time, for him to be able to hear the news of his condition surrounded by those who loved him the most. What a beautiful grace by God to be able to give that gift to Avery and to his family in his last days. For him to be able to do that, but not only that, Avery told his parents on Christmas Eve, hey, today, because the doctors gave him, he was getting a procedure after Christmas, and so he's in the hospital, and they said, hey, you can stay here for a few days if you want, or you can go home and be with your family. And they were kind of essentially saying, this is probably going to be your last time for Christmas, you know, this year. So, of course, he opted to go home. And on Christmas Eve, he said to his parents, listen, I don't want to talk about anything heavy. I don't want to talk about serious stuff. I just want to laugh and share memories. That's all he wanted, right? So that whole day on Christmas Eve, they just, as a family, spent time talking about memories, sharing pictures, and just laughing. And then at the end of the night, he said, the only other thing I want to do is I want to go to my sister Brooke's house. Him and his sister are very close, and I just want to watch TV and fall asleep on her couch watching TV. Apparently, that was something he did for many years on Christmas Eve. And so he goes over to his sister's house. He's watching TV. The last thing he says to her is, I had a really good time today. This was a blessing, right? And then not long after that, he ended up having a seizure and losing consciousness on Christmas Eve. And then it was not till 3 o'clock where they pronounced him at the hospital later the next morning. But God's grace, or what I like to call it, signposts, right? These little God sightings that we see in our stories sometimes, that God gives us a little bit of evidence saying, I'm here. Right? There's the family was able to literally list me all this evidence that God was here. God brought him home to us. He was able to be with us. We were able to be with him in his last couple days. He could have just gone and dropped in where he lived, his home, right? Far away. And we would have just gotten a random call later on and not have had any sense of closure or time with him. But instead, he got to be home with them. And none of them knew that this was going to happen that quick. But he got to do exactly what he wanted to do that last day. And then when God took him, he took him quick, right? And so there's all these different signposts that they got to have that God was with him, that God's hand was there. And even if the story would have been different, God would have shown other signs, other God sightings in their lives to know that God was with them, right? And so he got to enjoy that time. God's comfort, God comforted this family in their worst moment. He gave them and provided them evidence of his presence and his hand being on this situation. They were able to look around at what was happening and say, there is no way that this would have happened if it wasn't for God, right? There's moments when you're like, there's no other explanation. It had to be him, right? That's the only thing that explains. The God of all comfort comforts us with exactly what we need in that moment. And as we go through various trials, challenges, losses, he has not abandoned us, although it might feel like it at times. He is with us. And more than that, he even wants to allow us to find healing from our pain by getting comfort from others and then eventually being able to use that same comfort to comfort more people. So I don't know what you are going through today. I don't know what trials, what adversities, what persecution, what pain, what loss that you've been carrying in this season. But I want you to know what Apostle Paul says in this passage, that the God of all comfort wants to comfort you. And there's a few things that we need to, that we can take from this as we leave today, as some encouragement, but also maybe some steps that we can take. First off, when we see this passage, we get from this passage that this can't be accomplished alone. This comfort comes for you. He wants to comfort you from other people. Maybe you're carrying an affliction right now. Maybe you're carrying a health diagnosis or dealing with extreme loss, and nobody else knows around you because you have this kind of mindset that, oh, I'm not telling anybody, I've got this. I want to encourage you, let some people in. Don't suffer in silence. Don't carry this on your own. Let people in and allow them to minister to you with the same comfort that God has comforted them. For one, you may not even realize that they've been through something similar, and now they can come and minister to you. Don't do this alone. Or perhaps maybe for you, you're in a place where you've had some time of healing that God has done in your life, and now you're seeing some other people around you that are now suffering with the very similar situation that you've dealt with, and now you're kind of feeling that tug on your heart to say, you know, I think maybe God wants to use me here just to go and minister and just show love and kindness, right? Maybe God is tugging at you in your life right now to take a step in that direction. I want to encourage you to do that. You know, of course, be sensitive in all ways. And when we step into situations like that, be sensitive of what the family's going through. But perhaps God has prepared you for a time such as this to go and show comfort and kindness. And again, like I said earlier, there's something that happens in our healing journey when we begin to look up out of the grief that we're dealing with and the pain and to look at somebody else and start to show that comfort. There's something beautiful that happens in the healing process with that. And so I encourage you to do that. Or perhaps maybe you're somebody right now that you are experiencing very fresh grief. Very fresh, whether it's grieving the loss of a loved one, or maybe you are grieving the loss of a job, maybe you're grieving financial troubles, or perhaps a health diagnosis and you're carrying that weight. I want you to know that the God of all comfort has not abandoned you, that he sees you, and that he desperately loves you. Leave here today knowing that he loves you. And again, if you haven't shared that weight that you're carrying with anybody, please invite some safe people into that space. Invite safe people into that space and allow somebody to maybe minister to you for once. If you're somebody that's always worrying about other people, allow people to care for you. But I want to pray over us this morning, because obviously this is a heavy topic. You know, as we come to a close this morning, this is a heavy thing to talk about, situations of grief, of loss, of persecution, of challenges that we may be facing. All of us, we have different lives that we're coming from. And many of us in this room, there's people suffering in here, and we have no clue about it. But the God of all comfort wants to comfort you. And even right now, he wants to comfort you. And so I just want to encourage you, as I pray, I want you to be thinking about, maybe if that's you and you're somebody that's dealing with that, I want you to be thinking about somebody that you can share that with. Whether one of our pastors, we'd be happy to pray with you after the service here. We'd be happy to minister to you. Or maybe there's somebody that you know in the church here that you want to share and invite into that. Don't hesitate. Share it with somebody. Allow them to be a ministry to you. Or perhaps you are somebody that is now getting the opportunity to be able to do that. Step into that and minister to somebody and show that loving kindness. God is with us. The God of all comfort wants to comfort us and is comforting us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you, God of all comfort, that you bring comfort to us in our times of need, that you haven't abandoned us, even though at times it might feel that way. At times we might be really discouraged and distraught, and in those moments we just don't sense you there. But God, you are there. Even when we're not aware, you are there. Your hand is upon us. It's the same thing that, as you said to the prophet Habakkuk, as he complained to you and screaming at you, saying, why are you idly sitting by and letting all this happen? And God said to Habakkuk, look among the nations, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work among you that you would not believe me if I told you. And God, you are doing a work among us that if you were to share that with us, we would not believe you. And I thank you for that. Continue to bring us comfort. Continue to walk with us in our trials and our troubles. Lord, may you give us strength, just enough strength and comfort that we need to get by today. And may you do so every single day as we wake up and we lean on you. Lord, help us to move towards one another. We cannot do this life alone. This passage proves that we are meant to do this life in community. We are meant to carry one another's burdens. We are meant to be ministered to, that you minister through others to us, and we're meant for you to minister through us to others. And so, God, I just pray that you will bring connections out of today, Lord, that there will be community for people that need it. And Lord, even if there's somebody here, maybe this is their first day and they're new. Jesus, may you help bring community to them. Lord, may you provide exactly what we need. And we pray this all in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen.